Afternoon to everyone, and thank you so much for the invitation here, because the thing that's most important, which the two previous speakers both touched on, is the need to get out and talk about this stuff and share our stories. And my story is obviously the story of the library workers, and it's, I hope, going to demonstrate a lot of the themes that the previous two speakers talked about. And I think it is a good news story, because we are known after him, Mayor Ford, not acknowledging that there was a strike in the library for 3 years, finally said during the election campaign that there was a strike in the library. And all the themes that you're talking about and studying and so forth are all buried in that library experience. And I will just point out today, I'm just going to show a 2-minute video that I think will set the tone for what I'm going to say. And I also just want to point out, Mary Bissell is also here from my bargaining team. And Mary was a precarious worker, a part-time worker in Toronto Public Library, and was instrumental in bringing that message out to the public and to the community. So we'll just watch the video first.
I'm here because we want to make sure that we're able to have benefits for part-timers so that we're actually able to live our lives. We want to be able to pay our bills. Working 14 hours a week and not really getting any extra hours, we can't afford our gas, we can't afford groceries, we can't afford to pay rent. You know, these two are in school, and you know, they have to be coming here to strike and to get paid. It's a shame, really, that it's come to this.
I'm here because I don't want to end up like my coworker here. You know, 12 years down the road, I don't still want to be part-time. You know, I want to start my career, and I want to get somewhere in life and be able to pay my bills and be able to do all that and pay off my school debt.
There's not enough full-time work out there, and we really need it. And myself, I'm a full-time student, so part-time work is okay for me, but once I leave school, I will need that full-time. And a lot of these people have families and kids that they need to work for, right?
I love the library. I love my job. I wouldn't have gone to library school and become a librarian if I didn't love what I'm doing.
So that video there touched on all the themes of why we were successful. And I will say, we also pointed these things out to the Chow campaign as the library could be a tool that she could use to knit the city together, that at the core of it was employment issues for youth and youth from all of our neighborhoods. And the library reaches across the city. We're soon to have 100 branches. And again, it was a good news story, and it was dismissed and put aside. So what I'm going to talk about today is, what the heck was the library strike about? And how come a bunch of librarians, and when I say librarians, I am one, but I'm talking about all the library workers that work at Toronto Public Library, and it's just for the public, everybody associates libraries with librarians, and that's who they think fills the place. So I'll just do that for ease. So the library strike was all about precarious work and its further inroads into the library. And we were successful because the library workers fought back against the closure of libraries in our communities during the 2012 budget crisis. And we were then able to link Ford's budget policies to the attack on workers during the collective bargaining process. And we won because we presented a narrative that appealed to Chansky's words, all three cities, and in a manner that captured the hearts of Torontonians and provided an alternative, quite frankly, to Ford's leadership. Did I wake up in 2010 and say, hey, I want to be president? This is what we're going to do next year in bargaining. You know, all these things were very fortunate circumstances coming together. And again, the team that I was working with, both within the union and those who worked on our campaign, all were of the mindset to bring all these things together, and they all coalesced together in a perfect storm. So what was a library strike about anyway? One thing we do during collective bargaining, and I'm sure you've, you know, you might have seen here at York going on, is certainly communicate out, especially to our members, what collective bargaining is about. And I'll just read you, send out a series of bulletins, and I'll just read you some of the titles from those bulletins, because again, it really explained the background of the issues that were happening. So bulletin number one, call it a crisis and it allows bad things to happen. The mayor and his followers on council believe they have successfully convinced the public, and certainly through that video that Joel showed, you can see how it resonated, that there is a financial crisis in the city, and they have used this crisis to drive a series of serious cuts to services and laid the foundation for a concerted attack on the rights of unionized employees. City Council then instructed the library what the direction was going to be. It was to get concessions on wages, benefits, and working conditions, and the library was going to be no different than the city workers. We were all viewed as the same. And then, very quickly, it became outing the city's hidden agenda. The smoke of the budget crisis cleared, finally, and it revealed the mayor's true hidden agenda, an attack on job security provisions to pave the way for more widespread cuts and contracting out to private companies. And that's certainly still in the news today with the contracting out or privatization of solid waste east of Yonge Street. During the same time, because we were so successful in that budget fight, where the library workers basically led a campaign against the Ford administration to stop cutbacks to the libraries and to prevent the closure of the libraries, although the workers in the library are who I am most responsible for, and that's my major focus, that did not become the part of the major focus of the campaign. It was about the libraries in our communities. So they saw that we had the credibility to push back on that, and the public, and I say politicians are totally out of step with this, gave us a ton of support during that strike. Truly, I mean, it was amazing. I got 2 negative phone calls during that strike from members of the public. And by the end of both those conversations, I was able to explain to them what was happening, and they were positive about it. I mean, that's just unheard of to happen. And at the same time, QP was doing a lot of polling about part-time work. And actually, the polling results came back and said, Torontonians are against the further introduction of part-time work into their communities because they realize how good jobs are important to the communities, just not to the library workers on their own, and how it impacts the delivery of service. So they were on our side, even though the politicians, both at the library and at City Council, were pushing for these cuts for the most part. And then they tabled the job security provisions, which were up to 15 years. And what this did was, and everybody underestimated it, it was a total disregard for our members in the library unit who are part-time. 70% of the local 416, who are the outside workers in the City of Toronto, would keep their protection due to seniority. But in the library local, it meant that 65% of our members, due to the high number of part-time workers that we had, would be left vulnerable to layoff. 65%. So technically, in the course of one day, they could say we're laying off more than half of the bargaining unit in Toronto Public Libraries. So what we were able to do was to frame this as a strike for the next generation and the lost opportunities for them, which certainly resonated across the city. And I just pull out here, you might have seen this at one time, Toronto and York Labour Council put this out, but it's all about austerity and its effect on youth. And again, most of our membership is now moving towards a younger cohort. And so how did a bunch of librarians take on Ford and beat him, especially when we have all these really global financial and economic issues in the background? How did it translate to us here in Toronto? And really, I would say because we provided an alternative narrative to Ford and his cutbacks and what the impact was going to be. And being forced to think about it more and more in the context of forums like this, we did provide an alternative form of leadership. And oftentimes when I do presentations, we talk about the technology and the campaign and the mechanics on how we were able to do that. But all that really resulted in providing an alternative voice and the leadership. And I will say for library workers, our work each and every day is about embracing the three cities that exist in Toronto. That's why I became a librarian. That's why I wanted to be a frontline librarian. That's why I wanted to work on a desk and talk to people and reach out and help people in any way that they can. And the library, traditionally, is one of the most democratic institutions in our society, in our community. It is truly open to everyone. And in Toronto, 19 million people come through our doors. We are the busiest urban public library in North America and often the world. We kick dirt or sand in the face of New York public libraries, Chicago, Los Angeles, and most people are very, very shocked to learn that. Because Toronto and the library is... appeals to people on many different levels, is truly loved by the city as a whole. So just as a few more words of wrap-up here, the Fords misstep the whole problem every inch of the way. They assumed that the library and its workers were a bunch of elites, and I believe they were going to attack the library to show city number three that they were protecting their interests. And it just dawned to me when we were talking, one of Doug Ford's famous lines that started our whole campaign was, "I have more libraries in my ward than Tim Hortons." Now, at the time, you know, we were able to use that and use it as a parody and so forth. But when we really, what you think about it, what is he saying? Because the obvious answer is, so what? If we have more libraries than Tim Hortons, that should be a good thing, not a negative thing. But he was, I think, trying to use the library as an easy institution to attack and dismantle and say, you know, we're doing this for you. This is a downtown elite institution, and we're going to attack it. And his attacks against Margaret Atwood, if all of you remember that, something the library workers didn't plan, it just happened. Exemplified that, where you had Doug Ford and Margaret Atwood, you know, fighting in the press, and you could say, well, you know, who is Margaret Atwood? That's at the city level of number one happening. But at the same time, we were running a contest that Margaret Atwood was very involved with, called My Library Matters to Me, and I think almost every submission we had was from city number one. Or city number three, the outer suburbs. And all those submissions, if you read them, and they are on our campaign website, our publiclibrary.to, they talk about the importance of the library as a new Canadian, as someone new to the community coming here, as finding their way, as offering shelter to them, as offering study space for them because they're cramped in the high rises, as all sorts of things. And they were talking about the library that the Fords had no conception of whatsoever. So, again, the Fords assumed it was going to be an easy win against the library. From day one, they had stacked the library board with several of their appointees, you know, I believe now in retrospect, certainly to take us down. An early scandal, there were so many, but the Fords were accused of stacking all the civic appointments. And in fact, the library board only had 13 people on it, and out of the eight people that were featured in a Globe and Mail article of who they appointed, three of them were on the library board. And up till then, it really, you know, whoever paid attention to the library board? And all of a sudden, now we have three people stacking that. And then our strike lines, as you saw, became our most visible story. Who was on the lines? A recent Toronto Public Library Diversity Workplace Survey confirmed that we had a lot of young people working for us, and that these young people came from very, very diverse backgrounds. And Ford's narrative no longer seemed to resonate, because those were the people that were on the lines, those were the people that were about to lose their jobs, those were the people that didn't have benefits, those were the people that didn't have pensions. They were Toronto. And what Ford was saying was no longer working. So the strike resonated in the context of the three cities in different ways. Strike three was against, for city number three, the strike was against our youth and good jobs. For City number two, it was the loss of the middle class dream that you could work hard, go to university, get a degree, find a stable job, raise a family. Boom, life's over, and it was all great. But we're not able to do that anymore. And for city number one, it was an attack on a major cultural institution in the city. So what's next? Our collective agreement expires this year, December 31st. And it will mean, well, obviously we will be back at the bargaining table. And we know that our strike was about precarious work. A lot of the politicians at the time did not know what that was out. That's what it was about, and how Ford's policies impacted upon us and upon the workers. It just wasn't, you know, asking for a big raise. It meant it went much deeper. And even the press, I must say, didn't catch on to the very last day when they asked about the part-time workers. And I can remember one reporter at the very end saying to me, "Are you telling me somebody with 22 years could be laid off, a part-timer?" I said, "Yeah, and actually more, because, you know, all our part-timers don't get half of a full-time job at 35 hours and get 17.5. They're struggling to get even more hours. So it could conceivably be about that." So in the what we need to, we know our narrative is resonating with the city. What we need to do is tell people that that precarious work debate is not confined just to city number three. And we were featured on another publication like this, Working Women, Working Poor. The library workers and their strike are featured there. And, you know, I will say, not that I'm ashamed to be in this publication, but it's a shame to be in this publication, because you have an institution that has often represented good works in our community, now becoming what I would certainly consider a sweatshop employer. And we now, what I've been doing since the end of the strike is talking a lot about precarious work and trying to identify library workers as being in that group, because we are often dismissive of the whole precarious work thing too, saying, oh, it's new Canadians in precarious work, it's temporary foreign workers in precarious work, it's terrible conditions, but again, that really doesn't touch us. But we are living it at the library. The majority of my membership is living it. So we need to get that out there. And when you go back to budgets and where things go, and we all know, of course, again, the police budget in the city of Toronto takes up 1/3 of the budget. And the library budget, and it's not a this and them easy equation, but, you know, the library budget has been plummeting. And we've been fighting to hold on, and yet the effect upon our communities we know is great and positive and wonderful. And why are more resources being drained? And it's been a long, long time since I was in university in economics, but, you know, it's the classic, where do you put your resources, you know, the butter or the guns, playing out before us every day. And on a very final note, I will just say the library put out a report called So Much More that talks about the economic contribution to the library. And two of the interesting things for us, it talks about, which is very, very unique, 86% of the library workers live in the city of Toronto. So we are here returning back to our communities, our local economy. And again, when you look at a lot of the other employment groups in the city, that kind of high ratio is not so. So, you know, and I will just say, I finally myself was able to buy a condo like 5 years ago, like when I was 49. So it's not like we can all do this, but, you know, we can't take on those mortgages. We can't reinvest in our community if we don't have the good job to back us up to do that. And the other thing that it shows as well is we have a lot of pages working for us who used to be traditionally high school students that used to shelve the books. Those have now turned into they're still part-time jobs, but most of them are now occupied by 20, early 30-year-olds and older women working in those jobs, and more of the work is being pushed down to them. So it shows as well what the benefit of working at the library can provide. So our narrative this next time is going to be a bit more complex. and we've already begun working on how we're going to present our story to Toronto this next time, and we hope to see you in September when we launch our next campaign. And the Our Public Library DTO that you saw that came up at the end of that video is our campaign website, so feel free to check it out and join it at any time. Thank you.
All right.